Live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
And you're listening to Live from the Path. We're coming from the Pathway Studios here in Johnston proper.
Oh, yes?
Yeah, that's what's going on.
Getting real up in here.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. We got a lot of cool stuff going on the show tonight. So here's the deal. Silverside is in studio. Hello, Silverside.
Hello.
Awesome. Always good to have them in. Hey, here's the deal. We even got a list of stuff that we're talking about. They have so much cool stuff. I almost had to get another post-it note. But I scribbled it on here. So we're going to talk about they got some cool news. I don't know, they got some new equipment. Laura has let's see, what's the right way to put this? Has attained another level of distinction in life through the mail, and it's related to Boova. So we're going to talk a little bit about that.
Figure that one out.
Hey-o.
10 points to the winner. It's a really exciting tour opportunity. Just coming off one in the middle of a shorty, and then rounding the start of the year. There's just a lot of cool stuff going on that they can provide you some details on. So we're going to catch up with Silverside, see how things are going for them. Also, I promised some Pope style advice. It was last week. I said I was going to give some, but then I backed away from it and said I was going to give it a week and follow it and see what happens. And then I would give the Pope style advice the week after. So that's what I did. And it actually worked. Like, the advice was good and it panned out. It was a growth point for me, and I think an affirmation of some of the stuff that I think God has been talking, has been kind of showing to me and my community. But anyway, so I'll give that Pope style advice and then I'll tell you the example of how it impacted my life. And then, you know, then you should change your ways based upon that. So that's my Pope style. Plus, we got some advice on deer live from the path. People still need help. I was looking at a preview of the deer live from the path, and like, hold on, I'll tell you what it is. We have a teen sees parents' marriage collapse from a front row seat. Ooh. So they need some help from the teenage eyes.
Well, that's a roughie.
Family learns to let up on criticism of career choice. Yeah, that sounds awesome. So anyway, we're going to help sort out some of these problems that folks are having. And one of the things that you get to benefit from this slightly, but there's, hold on, see if I can get you a shot of it. Boova, earlier today, within the last 10 minutes, I have pictures of him playing with toys and dressed in that banana suit. That's like a children's item. That's a child's toy, Boova.
Don't judge me.
Does it have a dress on?
No, it's not a dress. It's a cloak.
It is not a toy. It's an action figure.
Hey,
this is definitely a toy. There ain't no lie about this. This has catchy catchphrases.
Wait, does it speak?
Yeah, it speaks.
What does it say?
I don't know.
Put it up to the microphone.
I don't think it's kind of falling apart, guys. I don't think it says anything. Wait for it.
Okay. Boova.
Hey, don't judge me.
We're burning free internet airtime.
I know. I'm trying to make it work. It's not working.
That's a crappy toy.
Yeah, agree. Whatever, man.
What was the question? Something about hey, what's the difference between a cloak and a cape?
I think cloak is full body and cape is just your back.
So what does he have?
He has a cloak and a cape.
So cloak you have to be able to put all the way around.
Yeah, I feel like a cloak implies the wrap around.
There's enough.
Nobody wraps a cape around unless they're like going on a run real quick and they go ha ha and they throw their cape behind them.
Okay,
they go flap.
Cloak come with a hood.
Cape.
Yeah,
I think a cloak would probably come with a hood, yes. Yeah. I think that's a fair assumption.
Wait, is that a... did you just make that up, Gizmo?
It sounds like it.
That's a real thing.
That's a real thing.
That's a real thing.
Okay. Okay, so cloak's going to have something you can wrap all the way around you. Cape is something that you might put over your face like Phantom of the Opera, but like not legitimately around your body.
And you forgot about the hood.
What? And the hood. Yeah. I don't know about that.
Puts a cape? The Phantom of the Opera didn't put a cape over his face, did he? Doesn't he just have the mask?
What am I thinking of?
You're thinking of Dracula.
For some reason, I think Fairbotham knows. Dracula? Like, who?
Yeah, you're thinking of the Count Dracula, bottom of their face.
You're not. Nothing's coming to mind.
No, hey. It's Dracula.
It's Dracula.
Okay. I'm looking for you to bail me out, and I feel like you were going to.
I tried, and then you just kept jumping back in.
No, no, Nate, not you. I can't deal with you in that banana suit.
That's understandable. Nobody can. It's the sweetest deal ever.
All right. So here
we're going to have a bunch of fun tonight.
Let's catch up with Silverside. So first of all, you guys just got off some shows with 7 Day Slumber, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so how do you land on something like that?
You got to be real good.
No, but I'm real good, and I'm not doing it. So what is the difference between you and I?
Well, I think there's a certain level of just busting your tail every year and just getting out there and showing that you work hard and that you're ambitious. And I know that we've had a relationship with those guys for a few years now, so...
it's kind of just time, I think.
Yeah, I think it was about time it happened, and they had an opening that had not previously been available, and they're like, hey, who's available? And we're always available.
Awesome.
We'll always change our schedule just for you.
Hey, man, I wasn't willing to bend on that. Maybe that's why these opportunities don't come along for me. They say, hey,
I think they just don't come along. I don't think it's anything about your accepting them. I think they just don't come.
No. I said I go to bed at 11:30, and that's when it's going to happen. And we couldn't work it out.
Yeah, you're not willing to work hard enough.
No, yeah, that's true. Okay. All right. So how was that? Show was pretty good?
Oh, it was great. Yeah, it started off in Texas and... Ended in Texas. Yeah, we did 10,000 miles in a month, so that was terrible.
No,
it was good. We had some really great shows along the way, and met a lot of great people out there on the road. And in this, it was the Small Town America tour, and so they do a lot of small towns all over the country. And this was their West Coast leg of the Small Town America tour, and so that included California, Arizona, there was a Washington date, Colorado, Idaho, and, we went to Idaho.
Yeah.
We have some good friends. Shout out to you guys if you're listening.
We went wakeboarding.
It was sick. And, so it was great, 10,000 miles in a month, and half the... country later, and here we are back in good old Iowa.
Yes, we have our Iowa family over here.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yes.
I think, that's good news. So, hey, hold on a second. Let me just, in small town America tour, best story of the tour, what do you got?
Ooh.
Oh.
Man. I don't know, was it surfing in California, or was it getting our vehicle all
fixed?
All pinned up, yeah.
Wait, getting your vehicle fixed? That seems kind of lame.
Well, no.
That's like a lame story.
No, that was actually a really awesome story.
Okay, hit me with it.
It was a $1,000 fix. It was just roughly a $1,000 fix that we got done for free.
Whoa.
So that's
pretty sweet.
That's the twister, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're pulling over the High Plains of Wyoming. It's like 8,000 elevation.
We were playing a Walmart parking lot.
We literally played a Walmart parking lot.
True story.
That was sick.
That
there was like 600 or 700 people.
That is sweet.
600 or 700 people showed up in a Walmart parking lot to rock out. It was pretty. It was pretty awesome.
I love small towns.
And I was talking to Laura, and I was like, I think it's about time we get our engine looked at. And I knew that there was a good potential that we had a bad fuel injector. And so in this process, we were trying to raise money to get a new trailer. And so we had some money that was given to us, and
saved up.
Yeah, we had $1,000 saved up,
but we needed this part fixed.
Right.
So no longer could we. We were just dragging so hard over the mountain passes coming from California and
Donner Pass.
It was really bad. So we're like, we got to get this fixed. So we'll take the trailer fund money and put it towards this fix, and, you know.
So I get there. We pull into the Walmart parking lot, and I asked one of the directors there, and he ended up being the youth pastor in one of the churches that was going to be showing up. And I was like, do you know a mechanic? And he's like, yeah, I know a guy. Let me give him a call. And so he actually knew another mechanic that we ended up going to. And I said, we need this done today. I don't know if you're available or not. And he said, we'll get it taken care of and figured out. And so with talking with him, he ended up having one of the bands that was playing there, their CD from like a couple years ago. And I was like, you know, they're playing in town tonight, right? He's like, no. I was like, you should definitely come out to the show then. And so in due process, we ended up being on stage as our vehicle was being fixed. We got off stage, and they had pulled it into the lot and turned it off and said, here's your keys, you're all set. And I'm like, okay. He's like, we're all set, it's all taken care of. And I'm like, are you serious? And he's like, yeah, it's already done, it's taken care of. And he's like, we took up a love offering for you guys, and they sent us away with some more money. And I was like,
they paid that's for the awesome. Like,
you can't ask. You know?
And they also hooked us up with two brand new rims and tires and a spare tire for our trailer.
Yeah.
And that was also...
I love Jesus people.
Yeah, man.
All right. And you got that's healed amazing. That night, too. Yeah. After spraining your ankle yep. very hardcore on stage.
I did. I rolled my ankle in our first song. Yeah, and it was bad. It was super bad. But yeah, it was just a huge praise report day, and so that's...
Things
that's,
like that. We have victories like that kind of all the time, but that was a major...
A major
event that happened that I believe, you know, God moves it at all of our shows, and we really see a good return, but that was just something that... instead of us giving out all the time, it was something that blessed us. And our shows bless us, believe me, but it was on a completely different level, which was awesome.
That is really cool. That's awesome. I think that would definitely beat surfing. Like, don't get me wrong, surfing's fun.
Surfing,
but,
yeah.
Like, that story's way cooler than
right,
surfing.
Definitely. Right, definitely.
We originally thought, hey, man, the engine fix was not going to be cool, but that turned out to be a sweet story.
Yeah, and it's Diesel. True.
Diesel. I think another interesting.
Are you saying Diesel?
Diesel.
Diesel.
What?
Oh, man.
That's how Zach's dad says Diesel.
Are we supposed to understand that based off the accent of, come on, man?
Again,
it's Diesel.
Here's the deal. I'm behind a bunch of monitors, right? I can't really see everybody except for Nate over here, who's like selling it. He is selling it. Diesel, don't you know it?
Don't you know it?
Don't get me started, man. I'll do this the whole time, man. I can go all day. I know. I think another thing was getting pulled over in Texas. That was.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh.
That was fun.
Hey, man, this definitely switched from God really showed up and, like, Jesus people came and fixed our truck, and then we broke the speed limit and got pulled over.
No.
But it was a lot of fun.
No.
I was just assuming
who wants
that.
To take this one?
All right, I'll start it off. Okay. So our first date is in Texas, and like I said, it's the Small Town America tour. And so we're going through all these small towns mm-hmm. where, obviously, there's not a huge demand of crime going on. So you see a sketchy tour vehicle rolling through from out of state. And, you know, Sketchville, you know, rolling through town anyway. So we're rolling through town, and a good friend of ours from Minnesota gave me some, like, license plate bling.
Hammer plate?
Like the bordering, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It was like some gold chain.
It was gold chain for our vehicle, and then there was a black chain for our trailer. So I'm like, it's great. So I put these on months before we even head out for the road. I'm like, I'm tired of having these bounce around in our vehicle. I'm just going to put them on. Well, it literally, I don't know, I can't remember if it was like our first or second day in Texas.
It was a few days in.
It was a few days into Texas.
It was real
We're going bad. From somewhere Texas to Waco, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Spring, Texas, down by Houston to
yep.
Waco. I was driving.
She was driving. It's Sunday at like 11.
Maybe
10:30, 11. And the sheriff...
Wait, PM? PM, AM?
AM, AM.
Okay, sorry.
Always in the AM.
Everybody's
in
church.
Texas,
okay.
Sunday morning, we're driving through. All these church people are, like, pulling out of parking lots, and we're just in the midst of traffic. And the sheriff is just, like, sitting in this parking lot. And next thing you know, like, he pulls up, and he's kind of, like, tagging us, like, on, you know, it's two lanes, so he's kind of traveling with us. But then he just, like, drops back and gets behind us mm-hmm. and flicks on his lights.
Yep.
And I'm like... Okay, you weren't breaking the law, Laura, so this should be interesting. So we pull into this other church parking lot, or across the street from a church, and the sheriff, I believe, he was a sheriff, right?
Yeah.
The sheriff walks up, and he's like, so I couldn't see the state of your license plate.
Number was totally legible.
I'm like...
Mind you, no other state in the union cares about this.
So
that's Texas.
That's Texas for you. So he's like, I can't see your state. And I need your registration and license and all this stuff. And he comes back and he gives us our stuff. He's like, I'm going to give you a warning, but I need you to take those plates off or the license plate bordering off
yeah.
as soon as possible. And we're like, yeah, okay, for sure. No problem. So then I'm like, are you serious? This guy is seriously, I'm like.
He's bored.
Yeah, man. And I'm, okay.
Because that night at the show, we had,
there was
we had officers
security,
there security
at every show and multiple police officers,
and I
sheriffs.
Asked one of them, I said, hey, would you ever consider pulling over a vehicle like ours for not being able to see the state on, you know, the license mm-hmm. plate?
And she answers.
And she said, no. Not at all. She's like, I would just run the number.
She's like, as long as the number is visible, yeah. there's nothing to pull you over
right.
for.
So then, a month later.
It gets better. We're back in Texas, ending the tour.
This is after, like, going across the country to California, then all the way back.
And this is our first date back in Texas. Yes.
Okay.
So
and
7:30
so,
in the morning?
Yeah, because well, the night before, we had, I don't remember. We
Scott
were
City, Kansas.
Scott City, Kansas. And it was a, I think, 12-hour drive
mm-hmm. yep.
to the next place in Texas. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't the typical 11 in the morning load-in. It was at 9 a.m. load-in
uh-huh.
because the show started at 4. So then Zach's driving, 7:30 in the morning. None of us have really slept. Like, a couple
asleep.
Of us are, like, 20, 22 hours up.
Yep.
Zach's driving. I had just laid down. And then I'll let him take
Go
it over.
I've been driving, yeah, like you said, 7:30 in the morning. I've been driving probably 5 hours or something, and we're like 20 minutes from the venue, so I'm like...
Literally
yeah,
20 minutes.
Almost there, almost there. 20 more minutes, and we're going to lay down, take a nap before we have to load in or whatever. So we're going down the highway, past these two cops, got someone else pulled over. I'm not speeding. Speed limit's probably like 75. I'm
right.
Probably 65, maybe 70. So I wouldn't worry about it, but as soon as I pass the cops, one jumps in his car, pulls out, gets behind us. I'm like, oh crap, what now? You know,
right.
We haven't done anything. Sure enough, pulls us over, comes up to the bus, gets her license and everything. Laura comes up after she's been asleep, gets her license, registration, everything, and sure enough, again, pulls us over for the same reason.
So what?
The
same
chain.
Exact reason.
Come on, Texas.
And so here's the deal. Here's the bottom line.
We got
is that
for drugs?
We so drugs. So Laura's like she's having a hard time. She can't find her wallet to get her license out. And I was like, you just go back to bed, and I'll take care of it. So. I literally have just, like, woken up after being up for, like, almost 24
yeah.
hours. Have slept, like, maybe an hour and a half.
We're all red-eyed.
Like,
yeah.
right. So here's the funny part is that he's like, where'd the girl go? I was like, she laid back down. I can take care of whatever you need. He's like, all right, since you're up, I need you to step out of the vehicle. Like, I don't even have shoes on.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm, like, stepping off into the grass. Like, I got bit by fire ants as soon as I got out there. And he asked me to come to the front of the vehicle. And so I'm like, okay, I'm at the front of the vehicle. He's like, so your friend led me to believe that there might be marijuana on board.
And yeah, before that, he had asked me to come back and sit in his car while he ran my license.
So like, Zach's in the cruiser, and then I hear from the cop, and I'm like, okay, what the heck could have Zach said?
Right.
So when Zach was in the cruiser, he started rattling off all these questions. He's like, yo, you hesitated and all this other stuff. So I'm at the front of the vehicle and he's asking me this. I'm like, are you serious? Like, this cannot literally be happening at 7:30 in the morning, 20 minutes from our venue.
Right.
So I'm like,
first time back in Texas.
First time. Like, we literally, like, just
we
got over
Texas.
The border
exactly.
of Texas, dude. It was crazy. And so he's like, can I have your permission to search the vehicle? I'm like, yeah, that's fine. Go ahead. I was like, and I almost thought about saying, like, yeah, if you could find this, that, and the other for me, because if you do end up finding anything else, it'll be with that stuff. Like, there's like a mirror that Laura lost like a year and a half ago.
My license that I couldn't find.
There's like there's
like,
so many different
it?
Things.
It's like, do a really thorough search. I'm looking for a hairbrush. If you find it. Yeah.
Like our bus becomes like the abyss after like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Uh-huh,
like you can't
right.
find anything. And I'm like, yeah, dude. I was like, you know what? That's cool. He's like, all right, well, we'll be really brief about it. And I'm like, okay. So I'm like, good luck. No, seriously. I was like, good luck, you know? So he ends up searching the vehicle. He comes back out.
He comes out looking more violated than we were.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
All of us were standing on the side of the highway, like no sleep, just cold. Like,
and it was at the end of a 7.5 month tour.
Oh.
So it smelled. And he said, he literally, and I quote, well, I was like, you didn't find anything, did you? And he's like, well, there is kind of a funk in there. And I said, yes. I said, yes, sir. That's called butt. And I said, do you need some hand sanitizer?
That's awesome.
And he said, no, thank you.
I was looking to smell weed, but I smelled something much worse. Yeah. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, it was just one of those days that I'm like, this literally could not happen to anybody else than us.
It was pretty terrible.
So we drove. I was like, you know what, Zach? I'll just go back to bed, and I'll just drive us the 20 minutes in. And I got there to the venue, and I took the things off, and I threw them into the woods.
In Texas.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, that was our fun story. I feel like that was a little longer than it needed to be, but...
Gotta love Texas.
You know, yeah. It was experience. And
I feel like there's going to be an outstanding warrant for littering.
Yeah, exactly.
License plate bling.
No, the same sheriff is going to find that license plate bling and be like, I knew it was those guys.
It was actually on the property. It was actually in a trash can. I did throw them at the woods because I was upset. I'm like, tossed them to the side because it was like gravel and whatever.
And then we threw them out after.
Oh,
man, that's more responsible. I really would have liked it if you would have.
I almost wanted to see.
Mr. T comes and finds the chain, just throws it on real quick.
I almost wanted to see if they were aluminum because they were very heavy and I was going to scrap them.
Oh, right, right. Yeah,
that's kind of understandable.
What?
Oh, it's too bad.
They weren't, no. Yeah. Definitely not.
I just, like, what happened in my mind was the Texas man was there with a dog, and he sniffs it, and he's like, smells like trailer and butt.
I know who these are.
Well, right.
You're listening live from the path. We're hanging out with Silverside. God bless you fellas in Texas. If you could take
we
it
love e- you, Texas.
Take
we
it
do.
Easy on them.
Take it easy on
they're,
them.
They're there for good purposes.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the tour you're just coming off of. You're on a short 10-day tour now, right? And then heading back home?
Yeah. We had a few dates that we had booked a long time ago. And so I wanted to just kind of... Honestly, I wanted to give the band some nice time home before we head back out for December 31st and then kick the rest of the new year off. We've been running really hard this year. We left for tour December 28th of last year and went all the way through January, took February off, and then from March, we stayed out until last month. So
wow.
We had a pretty long run and met a lot of great people along the way. But I wanted to just give us some time to be home with family and a little bit closer to... It works out because it's closer to the holidays anyway now. So we typically take some time off. But, yeah, so we're out fulfilling the contracts that we had initially set up over the summer and then going home for a little bit. And then we're going to come back out, hit a couple of shows in Missouri. Or, I'm sorry, in Mississippi and Kentucky.
Yep.
And then we're going to be done until New Year's Eve. So, and that's going to be kicking off in Illinois. So that should be fun. But yeah, so family time, really focusing on that because we believe a whole lot in building up our families and spending some time with the people we love.
So then coming off that, you'll take a little bit of you said that you're back on December 31st. And then it sounds like the first of the year comes with some pretty cool opportunities.
Yeah, we're headed. We're going to make our first appearance at NAMM in Anaheim, woo! California.
So for people who don't know what that is, can you tell them a little bit about NAMM?
Nate?
It's like a giant music convention. So any company that makes
anything.
Comic-Con for musicians.
Yeah.
So,
cool.
like any like violins, guitars, guitar strings, guitar picks, drums, anything that any company can make music-related, they're all there showcasing new products. So as I think it's the first 2 days, it's basically networking because it's only you can only get in if you are an artist for one of those companies. So me being endorsed by Dream Symbols, I'm able to get passes for another person, and Nate being endorsed by Diodario can get a pass for another person. So we're all able to get in for free.
Nice.
So we can do the first 2 days, and the other band that we're going on tour with actually got the connection for a showcase there. So we're going to be doing a showcase at NAMM. So I've been wanting to do this for years. It's just a cool thing to meet people, like see new products. You can play the new instruments, and I think they give you like free samples and stuff too. So I don't know. It's going to be really cool.
Like free samples of musical equipment or like yogurt?
I was going to say, are you going to get a new guitar?
I would taste this drumstick.
I would hope both.
It's cherry wood.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
No, it's going to be awesome, and I'm finally excited to meet some people that I've worked with, you know, and just been emailing back and forth, so that's going to be cool to finally meet them. So,
yeah.
And hopefully make some new friends there.
Yeah.
That's exciting. NAMM is always cool, you know, whether you're involved. There's all aspects of, like, equipment and stuff, but, like, I mean, that's where they bring out all the new gear, right? Like, and a lot of times companies will live stream the release of their products. And I know, like, I was waiting on some changes, too. We use Personas for our soundboard, and it was a couple years ago. Like, I was excited to see what they were going to do. And, like, it's just a cool... It's a cool show, and kind of get the state of the industry after this. Sets the tone for the year, really.
Yeah, definitely. We're excited, for
sure. Yeah, boy, that's really cool. So, like, tell us a little bit about, like, what does a showcase mean?
You can take that one.
I don't think it's a typical showcase in the sense where we don't have to pay to play it, where we've been invited to play. And we'll get some sort of a door split, which will be cool. So hopefully we can make a little bit of money. But it's a performance opportunity where we're probably going to get up and play a song or two, and we'll be able to invite sponsors that we have and people who we want to be sponsored by more so to come and see us and see what we do and how we rock. And
so what's the door? We're distracted because there's a banana fixing a microphone.
A door.
a door split? Sorry, everybody.
Is that your question?
Well, you know, like, what's the door cost at a thing like that?
We're not sure. I mean,
I
don't know.
It could be like a $10 cover. It could be
a $5 cover. $1 cover.
But, I mean, it's Los Angeles, so it could be $15.
It could be $15, $20.
Yeah. We're not sure. Honestly, it's whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose you're going to do it anyway, right? Like,
we have the power of Google. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, we were planning on being at the NAMM convention, and they threw in a show, and we're like, sure.
Well, heck yeah.
We like to work, so it was a win-win.
Yeah, no, all right. Yeah, boy, that sounds...
Definitely.
That's really exciting to be at NAMM and to be and have work out while you're out there.
Yeah.
That's very cool. And so is that the end, or you're not that far yet? Have you looked at the rest of the year and say, what do we do after NAMM, or it's still up in the air?
Oh, yeah. We're going to be recording. We're going to take some time to finish writing. We are going to be crowdfunding for our next album, and I want to not do it so close to Christmas, so we're probably going to do it early in the beginning of the year, the first 3 months, and then hopefully we'll be able to get the new album dropped by May. Which I think would be a nice, like, springy to summer release. And working hard on that. And then we're going to tour off that come June and for the rest of the year. So we're really planning on taking some time to focus on writing, focus on recording, and putting our best foot forward with this next album. It's going to be our third studio album and our second full length as our most recent release is an EP, and it's a 6-song EP.
Right.
So we're looking forward to putting all of our efforts into creating another full-length album that's really going to captivate the sound that we're looking to
I think that we're
continue.
Just,
grow
into.
Because Silverside definitely has a specific sound, but we're expanding that. I feel like we're kind of going a little bit deeper, definitely lyrically deeper and musically deeper in tone, and just a little, you know, riffier, and you know, throw some breakdowns, I guess, in, and just make it fun, make it raw, just like I guess to keep in line with the rest of our albums, the predecessors, to keep it just raw and vulnerable, and make sure that we really captivate who Silverside is, especially with our message and everything.
Okay, sweet. So that's exciting. What else was it? There was one other thing I wanted to ask about. Oh, yeah. So I pulled up, you guys got a slick-looking new
new outfit out there. Like, oh. I was thinking about paying rent and living in it. That trailer.
I'll tell you what. I told Nate. I said, dude, I just want to live in this thing. It's so clean.
Yeah.
We ended up picking up a new trailer, and it has been a long time coming for us. Our last trailer was a single axle. We had replaced the axle last year.
Four times. Four times since we owned it.
Since we've owned it, it's that axle has been replaced four times. And did the leaf springs, and it just, we're like, growing out, we're like the whole growing pains of our existence was that trailer was just too small for our gear because our gear is super heavy, and so it was Tetris hardcore, floor to ceiling, front to back, and we just picked that up on Monday. I went shopping and I was like, hey guys,
Not today.
Okay. Last Monday.
A week. It's a week old.
It's been a week. Yeah. It's fresh out of the parking lot womb. And it's beautiful.
That's a weird
We're actually
That is pretty weird.
Sorry,
parking
guys.
Lot womb.
Sorry. We're actually looking for a name for it because our old trailer was called the War Horse. And this one.
My vote is to keep the Warhorse for this new one.
So,
epic.
I mean, it is. And the last trailer got us through a lot. It was a Warhorse.
It was.
But new trailer, I think it's time for a new name for that trailer because it's different season. You know,
it's also silver. It's
also silver. Exactly. So. Breaking up the white.
Wait. So you're open to suggestions, though, right?
Yeah.
We are.
You know.
Okay.
Within reason.
Within reason. Okay, our bus is called Megatron, so... Megatron, and then we have the trailer that's unnamed. So
we should just name it
Starscream if it's silver.
We do have random names for our equipment as well. We have Nathan's base cab that's called the Colonel. It's called the...
Constitution.
The Constitution.
My drum case is called the Colonel because he...
Yeah.
He takes up a lot of space. He's a big man.
He's a big man.
He's got a big
ego. Honestly, I don't even know why we called him the Colonel.
I don't know either.
We just started calling him that.
It felt right, I guess, when...
And then we
totally forgot my reasoning behind that.
And then we have...
my rig, the Patriot.
The Patriot.
Oh, the Patriot.
Yep.
That's right.
Awesome.
So I feel like we have these very strong commanding names, and the Warhorse was so fitting... And it really, really did a lot of hard work. It worked so hard. Like, if we could give a medal to an object, I think
it would deserve a purple heart.
Yeah.
For sure.
For being wounded in battle and for being so epic.
Yeah.
So,
because it was wounded, because every time it rained, our whole floor was wet. And we couldn't figure out why.
We can't sell this thing because I would feel too bad.
We had a back wall of all of our extra stuff, extra spare tire and extra guitars and all that stuff. But since we had to stack everything, it would just fall every time. So we had to organize that. Well, we're taking everything out of the trailer, putting in the new one. And Nathan goes, look at that. I think I found a problem. And it was probably a foot and a half wide and maybe half an inch up. It separated and it was just a hole. That all the water could flow in. And it was right behind the tires, so all the tires would shoot up the water and spit it in there.
Well, that seems like problematic, definitely.
Yeah, the thing is just falling apart. The new inch is so solid in comparison to that one.
It's true.
Right now I'm leaning to Steel Embrace. But I'm gonna think of some more names.
Steel Embrace.
Yeah.
What was the one you said, Bubba?
I said Starscream if your truck or if your van's called Megatron. But you could also do War Machine since it's a little bit bigger than the War Horse.
I think you could
say it's a modern age. It was the War Horse, and it's I like that.
War Machine.
I can get down.
You know what?
Man has some good ideas.
I don't want to officialize anything, but I'm leaning.
I kind of like that.
I'm leaning very hard on that one.
Well, there you go.
I like a War Machine. Either that or tank.
It seems really aggressive to me. I'm just saying, maybe it's a hugger. That's all I'm saying. Maybe it hugs.
Maybe a hugger, not a fighter.
Just put an asterisk next to it then. War Machine, sometimes cuddly.
Sometimes cuddles.
Yeah.
I think everything we own is kind of, I think it's...
Aggressive.
Aggressive, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I mean...
Like the new album.
Yeah.
Like the new album.
No, I'm not going to go down that road. There's just debate. We're just not...
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Sure.
Thunder Cuddles it is.
That's my
Thunder Cuddles.
Thunder Cuddles.
Thunder Cuddles.
Nope. Immediately vetoed.
Maybe you should sleep on it.
Yeah.
That's just the chocolate chip cookies talking.
The Lord has told me that it's not to do.
It's not Thunder Cuddles.
It's not Thunder Cuddles.
All right, well, if you have a suggestion, anything except for Thunder Cuddles, I guess.
Hey, man, now I need to find something to name Thunder Cuddles, by the way.
Don't let it go by, you know.
Oh, I won't. I'm going to buy a new card and name it Thunder Cuddles.
maybe hit him up with a tweet. Hashtag yeah. Name that trailer.
Tweet us. Yeah.
Facebook. Yeah, that's happening right Instagram now. Us.
What's our handle on Twitter?
It's at Silverside.
Yeah.
Music, I think. Yeah. Twitter's at Silverside Music. Instagram is at Silverside.
Yeah.
And Facebook's just Silverside.
So what were we what was our
S-Y-D-E.
Hashtag?
S-Y-D-E.
Name that trailer.
Hashtag name that trailer.
That's right.
Hashtag Silverside.
Hashtag
Yeah.
Ness.
Hashtag bless.
Now, I mean, how many Thunder Cuddles votes would it take? Or it's just not happening. It's not happening.
It would have to be more than 1,000.
If we can get a 1,000 hashtag Thunder Cuddles for the win tonight.
Oh, tonight?
No,
tonight.
I guess it wouldn't have to be. Maybe by the end of the week. If we get 1,000 hashtag Thunder Cuddles.
Yeah, if we can get 1,000 hashtag Thunder Cuddles.
Being that it's Monday.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's going to be some work.
Please do that because I want that to be
a lot better at Twitter than you are.
Gosh. All right. We'll see what we can do. If we can influence the election. awesome. Well, if you want to catch up with Silverside, you can do so at on Facebook, on Twitter, website. What's the website? Is it just is it Silverside Music?
Silverside.com.
Silverside.com. Yes. Awesome.
And it's SilverSyde.
Yes.
Oh, dang it. Hey, I miss that every time I put the Y in the wrong spot.
You are so lame.
It's not sliver
every
side.
Time.
It's silver side.
Skilver seed.
No, it's, yeah. It's,
that's how you spell it. It's weird.
Dang. Every wrong. Time. I don't, yeah.
Okay. Hey, man, hashtag name that trailer is officially on Twitter.
Bingo.
On Twitter.
Balls. On Twitter.
Hashtag name that trailer.
Hashtag name that trailer. And hashtag I put out for
Thunder
War Machine.
Cuddles. We should have guys. You, we should
I put War Machine. Twitter.
This can happen. That's what I'm saying.
Hashtag Thunder Cuddles.
Is that okay? If it's trending for other reasons, I'm going to need to figure out something else.
I hope Thunder Cuddles is never trending on Twitter.
I don't want to live in a world where it's not. That's what I'm saying.
Clowns, Trump, Thunder Cuddles.
There you go.
Twitter analytics.
All right. So here's the thing, Boova. Someone has mistaken me awkwardly for the Pope.
They certainly have.
And it was a weird deal. I was dressed in normal street attire.
I did it, by the way.
Wait, you did what?
I was the one who told people that you were the Pope.
Hey, man, that puts me in a weird position.
I know. What position are you in?
Because people kept asking me for advice. They kept saying, "Hey, there's the Pope. Tell us something about our lives." And I said, "Look, man, I'm on break or whatever." I tried to get him to leave me alone. And so anyway, I went back to my house. I come out the next morning, and there's throngs of folk waiting out on my lawn. And they're saying, look, you're going to give us some advice. And so I said, all right, I got to conjure up some Pope-style advice. And the parameters are if I give it to them something that I think will be beneficial for their lives, but also has to be beneficial for mine, and then they'll agree to get off my lawn. And so this happened to me about a week ago, and maybe 2 weeks. And the general Pope-style advice was open your gates. And the thought was is that, like, a lot of times in – especially as Christians, right, like – There's a lot of good work, we were created for good work, and there's a lot of Christians out there, especially, that are just doing some awesome work. And sometimes we look around and say, look, I don't know what to do. You see people doing epic stuff, traveling the world, helping people, sacrificing things, and you're like, I don't even know what my life looks like in service to Jesus, with this type of context. And so sometimes, like, we get our hands tied a little bit, and a little bit blinded, where, like, we end up not doing anything because we don't know the work that we're actually up to. And it's just been something that I've been praying through, been studying through, and I keep coming back to just open your gates. Like, God isn't necessarily always calling you to completely change your life, like to move somewhere else or, you know, to quit your job or do whatever drastic thing that the world would look at and say, wow, look what that bastard's up to, right? It would be like, just if you live your life following Jesus and then open it up and say, look, whatever God has me doing, I'm going to be faithful in that. And I'm going to take people along with me for the ride.
and just and open up your spectrum to say God will use anything. And some people he's got traveling the country in a sweet van and a Thundercuddles trailer. Some people he has like doing a 9-to-5 with 3 kids and a soccer team. Now, the question is, it's not that one work or the other is more or less valuable, but oftentimes the 9-to-5 with the soccer team doesn't see what they're doing as work for the kingdom. And frankly, I think we feel like we're limited, and that nothing's being accomplished. So here's where I keep coming back to is open your gates. Is if God has you living some kind of life, I'm asking that you live it intentionally for the kingdom work. And it doesn't mean that you have to actually drastically do much. It's just open your eyes. Open your gates, and as you interact with people, take them along the ride that you're going. If you're following Jesus, and all you really have to do is take people along with you, and that doesn't mean you have to do anything drastic. It just means you're going to have a family dinner, invite a man over. You're going out for coffee, invite a man over. You know, you're going to do family stuff. You're going to coach a soccer team. Bring a man in. You're going to run an internet radio program. Invite some folks to it. You know what I'm saying? Like, live your life following Jesus and take people with you. And all it really takes is living the life that God has for you and opening your gates. Like, looking, just having your eyes open for every opportunity you might have. So that's what was kind of sitting on me. We've been talking about that in church a little bit. And then I thought, like, what does that actually look like for my life? As opposed to looking around and saying, hey, I need to do something completely different. What if I just live the life that I live and I open my eyes and look around? And what was interesting is that this whole discussion came to me because Tim Tebow was convicting to me. And it's interesting because, like, it's not because of any athletic abilities he has. It's not especially because he's a Christian. It's because he was there were some news stories going around about Tim Tebow that, like, he just seemed comfortable inserting himself in circumstances of which I would completely stay out of. There, so he was, he played football, right? And then he decided he was going to be, he was going to try to be a baseball player.
Mm-hmm.
So he's in Arizona. He's working out or whatever, and he's playing minor league ball. Some guy has like a seizure, while he's out signing autographs after a game. Now, if I see a guy that has a seizure, my first reaction is not to go over there. My reaction is to think, like, I don't know what to do in that circumstance. I have no medical skill, really. Who am I to kind of barge into a situation and assert myself and say, hey, I belong here. I'm here to help, right? Like, it just makes me uncomfortable. I can't see any reason to insert myself. Now, if I'm Tim Tebow, I kind of have a lot in life. Like, people look up to me. I sign autographs. My first inclination isn't to interject myself into some kind of random fan item where some guy's having a seizure.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy stops signing autographs, goes over there, puts his hand on a man and starts praying for him and stays there until the paramedics show up. And I think to myself, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't insert myself into a circumstance because I think someone else has got this taken care of, right? And it's not because I don't want to help or I don't have a heart for people. It's just like this really isn't my issue. There's certainly qualified people to handle this type of thing. And there was another story about him about 4 months earlier. He was on a plane and some guy was having he wasn't a heart attack, but he had heart problems, right? Mm-hmm. He was having some kind of heart pain or whatever. And, like, you guys have been on planes, right? 6 or 7 rows difference. I mean, you're talking a good 40, 50 people between where Tim Tebow was sitting on the plane and this guy who's having heart problems. And, of course, who gets up when someone's having some sort of thing going on from 6 rows back, passes 50 other people to go over to a family and pray with them and then hang out with them and then, you know, even when the plane lands, help them take their bags off is Tim Tebow. And, again, like, his lot in life isn't necessarily the guy that has to interject himself in day-to-day people affairs, right? Like, he doesn't have to be part of any of those things. And again, it brought up to me that, like, I just wouldn't do that. I would look around and think, like, certainly there's someone more qualified to enter into this situation. Certainly there are people closer to this person. Why would they want me over there? Why would they want me going over there and talking to them or trying to pray for somebody? Like, I just don't feel like I'm the right guy. And I started looking at my life and thinking, like, I'm never the right guy by those criteria. Like, I'm never the person that actually interjects in someone's life. And what came to my mind was a circumstance I had at work about 6 months ago. I work in an office building. I go up to the 6th floor, which is our top floor. You take a right, you go to the cafeteria. You go to the left, there's some bathrooms over there. And I remember going up there to go to get some lunch or something. And I look to my left, and there's like a lady sitting there crying. She's holding a cell phone in her hand, and she's been there for a while, you can tell. And she's trying to kind of pull herself together. And I remember looking over there, and I thought, oh, I wish I could help. And then I thought, like, I don't know who this woman is. Certainly there has to be someone better. There has to be someone that can help her, that can that knows her that can bring her some comfort. And I turned and I walked the other way. I went to go get something to eat. And when I came back, she was gone. And that example stuck out for me because I thought, like, you can justify anything as not being your business, right? In your day-to-day life, you can pass a homeless guy in the street. You can pass a crying lady in the cafeteria. You can hear a story from a coworker about someone that's struggling or is in need or just needs some hope in their life or someone who's lonely or whatever it is. And you can easily write it off and saying, that's none of my business. And here's the thing. You might be right. It might not be any of your business. They might have people that are closer in their lives that could be helping them out. But the truth is like, just because it's not my business doesn't mean it's not God's business. And I'm about God's business. I'm about the kingdom work, right? And so as I look out and I have rational reasons for saying, this is not my business, there are very strong kingdom reasons to say, this is the Lord's business and I'm on it. Mm-hmm. Which is what causes me to turn left and talk to a woman who may reject it, right? Who may say, hey, look, you know, I'm fine. No, I don't really want to talk. But here's the thing. Tim Tebow aside, because, I mean, I feel like he probably gets away with inserting himself into people's lives in ways that I may not, simply because he is indeed Tim Tebow. But I think a lot of that probably isn't his celebrity, right? It's someone who looks around at a world with open gates and says, hey, there's something happened 60 feet away from me, and there's 30 other people between me and that guy having a seizure that could interject, and still says, no, I'm going over there. There's kingdom work to be done. I'm going to go over there and pray for the guy. And if I get stopped or they reject it, fine. But my guess is it's like 95 out of 100 that's positive and 5 out of 100 that it's not. When I would talk myself out of 95 and barely insert myself into 5. And the difference isn't because I don't love people. It's not because I don't understand how Jesus loves me and how we can show that love to the world. It's simply because I think certainly there's somebody else and that's none of my business. And like the open gate says, the world is my business because it's God's business. As he seeks to redeem the world and bring mercy and sacrifice and joy and justice. And as God's people who are part of that is our business. And so, it was something that kept coming up. And so we were talking about it in church and then I thought, okay, all right. I don't know what this means because it's not anything specific, right? Mm-hmm. It's just open gates. It says I go to work like I go to work. I go to coffee with dudes as I give coffee with dudes. Am I intentional about bringing people along with me? And then am I just looking around with open eyes? And so I was thinking about this and doggone it, does the Lord just kind of show up and validate, I guess, this burden's not the right word, but the present mind of it. I was supposed to meet a guy for coffee and breakfast on a Thursday morning. I go out to pick this guy up. He don't come out of his place. I don't know what's happened. I don't know if they kidnapped him or what. Like, he ain't there. or he's sleeping, which he's done to me multiple times. So he could be sleeping. So I hang out at his place for about 10 minutes, 15 minutes. No, he doesn't come out. I'm way on the other side of town from my house. I could go into work. I don't have to be at work till 9. And I thought, what am I supposed to do here? So I thought, well, I'll just go home. I could work from home today. Or I could go into work early. Either one was a viable suggestion. So I start driving home. And then all of a sudden, I kind of turn onto the interstate. And I said, well, maybe I'll just go to a coffee shop for a while. And I'll hang out there before I get to work. And then I'll try to go in at regular time. Or I'll do some work from the coffee shop. So I get there. And I've been charging my laptop all night. So I should have been able to work from the coffee shop. I didn't order anything yet. I sat down. My laptop's dead. Shouldn't have been dead. It was plugged in. It's dead. And so I moved towards the door of the coffee shop, where I never sit there. I usually sit right in the middle. Still haven't ordered anything. Fire up my computer, get it plugged in, and then two people enter the door. There is a younger lady and a younger guy. Guy heads into the bathroom. Younger lady kind of starts wandering around a little bit, but hangs around the door that she came in on, where my table is at. And she says, she looks at me after a while, and she's looked cold. And is certainly dressed for cold weather and says, hey, can I borrow your phone? I need to call a cab. And I said, well, yeah, okay, certainly. You can borrow my phone. Do you know, I don't deal in cabs. Do you have a cab company that you enjoy? Like, do you have a number for a cab company? And she goes, no, not really. And I thought, well, that's kind of weird. Like, if you had planned to take a cab and you don't have a phone and you don't have a cab company number, like, you weren't really prepared to take a cab. So something's probably up here, right? Mm-hmm. So I start talking to her, and she's homeless, as is her friend. They had slept outside the night before. They had gotten a ride or taken a bus or something over to a church that's across the street from the coffee shop. Couldn't get a ride back to anywhere. And so it slept outside for the last night and had been missing a place to stay for the last few. She wasn't allowed back at the shelter because of an incident that was there in her past. He was, but he wouldn't go back and stay without her. So as a couple, they've been kind of staying out on the streets. They've been hopping between hotels, like real cheap hotels. And when I say cheap hotels, like a cheap hotel costs you $300 a month or a week, excuse me. So, like, you add that up, that's more than I pay for my house payment, by quite a bit, actually. And so, but it's the type of place, you know, you're not doing a background check. You know, it's not like it doesn't require a deposit like an apartment would. So you go there and then you kind of bounce from friend to friend to friend. And eventually those wells start to dry up. And so, she was kind of talking to me a little bit about that. She's pregnant. And she said, I said, look, I'll be your cab. Where do you need to go? And to be honest, here's the thing. It's like, that's not special, right? I have a car. I got seats in it. The primary reason to not just say, here's my phone, because they don't have money for a cab anyway, and say, let me call you a cab or let me pay for you a cab, is just to live with open gates. That says, I got an open car. So I said, let me be your cab. So they told me where they wanted to go. We stopped by McDonald's. We got like a big mess of sausage McMuffins, and they were real good, except for mistakenly, one of them ordered like a frappe. It's freezing cold, man. Like, it was cold that day. I'm like, you don't want to eat that frappe. And then I was right about that. So he ended up taking my coffee, and I ate the frappe, and that was a mistake. It froze my mind out. But anyway, so you know, I got a chance to talk and hear about their family and their background and stuff. And I hate that. I stink at that. I'm not really much of a people guy. Those questions make me nervous. I don't know how to deal with people on that level. Like, I do real shallow or real deep. That middle ground, I stink at. I really suck. But it was easy. It was pretty easy because I cared about them. I wanted to know what was going on, see any way I could help. And so they said they got a place, someone on the east side. They thought they might be able to hang out there. And so I took them over there. And here's the thing. I didn't know what else to do. I didn't really have any money to offer them. I didn't have a place to offer them to stay. I don't have any really good solutions for their, I don't know their whole story, right? So I got them that far and I said, look, I know that Jesus made me and my vehicle and some of my money for breakfast and my time available this morning. So we can at least thank him for that. I can pray for whatever your next steps are, whether that has anything to do with me or not. And then I'll drop you off. So I did that. And I dropped him off where they thought they could probably stay for that night. And I was praying for him as I was leaving. And I thought, you know what's hard about open gates is you don't know when people are going to wander in and you don't know when they're going to wander out. And I think that the problem with that, the ambiguity with not knowing that causes people not to do things. It's caused me not to do things in the past. I think if I pull over, if I have open gates and I see a guy, I gotta stop, right? And then I think, well, what's that gonna mean? What's this gonna do to my afternoon or my $300 or, you know, like whatever it is? And we say, look, I don't know where this is gonna go. And that's a reason, that is a thing that stops a rational person, but it is something that shouldn't stop a kingdom person. It is something that doesn't stop us from doing work that Jesus has, because I have to trust that he can sort whatever that is out. And sometimes, you know what, something that I wanted to be 6 minutes is going to be 6 months. And that's what it's going to be. And we're so afraid of God changing things about that in our lives and seeing that changed, and because we're stuck holding on to other things that aren't producing anything, really, but it's just comfort. And so we say, God, you can't have that. I'm not going to risk pulling over. I'm not going to risk getting involved in that conversation or that marital dispute or whatever that guy's problem is, right? And so anyway, that's stuff that was going through my mind, but I thought, like, it was a weird set of circumstances. If that guy had been awake for breakfast, I wouldn't have been at that coffee shop. If I would have gone home like I was supposed to, as opposed to buying coffee, which I didn't end up doing, but I was going to. I was going to drop 5 bones on coffee that I shouldn't have. Sitting by the door in a way that I normally wouldn't be, so that God can say, I, you're right, I need you to live with open gates. I got plenty of work for you to do in your 9-to-5 and your soccer team and your radio show and your 3 kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, I do things that are cool things with faithful people, touring the country with their tunes. And their faithfulness, I will have plenty of work for them. But I got plenty of work for a guy in a banana suit. Going to school, right? Booba, like the stories you've been talking about going to school, right? It's it's not, you didn't have to do anything special except for show up and follow Jesus and then look around.
Just exist.
Yeah. Look around. And what we gotta be careful of is, like, sometimes people,
It's still work. It's kingdom work. It takes effort and it takes time and it takes energy. And like, if we're mourning with those who mourn and we, you know, and like trying to share the joy of Jesus Christ, like that will take up your life. That's what giving up your life looks like. But what I'm saying is sometimes we are so handicapped by the thought that we have to do something so drastically different, when our drastic difference is really just open your eyes and live with some open gates and say, wherever I'm at, whatever I'm doing, I just got my eyes open for whatever Jesus has got going on. I reached out about 2 hours after I dropped them off. I know somebody that's part of our homeschool co-op folk who works at Joppa, which is a homeless ministry here in Des Moines. And I said, look, I don't know what the right next steps are. Because I was looking for – I thought I'll look for some hope for some apartments, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll check and see what's a deposit on an apartment, 250 bones, 350, something like that. Maybe we can get him in something for a month, give him some time, because the dude has a job. Right. He just needed a place to live and a bus to get him to where, you know, so what's a bus pass and an apartment? I thought we could come up with that as a church or something. But then I thought, like, there's people that do this. There's groups of people. There's ministries who, like, know exactly what to do in these circumstances. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need to invent the wheel. I just need to find God's people who are doing this and know it and hook up with them. So I Facebook message him, and she goes, hey, that's great. You reached out to the right folks. What do you have a phone number for him? And I said, yeah, I got a phone number. And I thought she was going to come back and say, well, call him back and give him this place and tell him to give us a call. And she goes, yeah, we already called him. I'm like, heck yeah, you did. Like, yeah. I was reaching out for just like, hey, how can I not, you know, how can I try to help this guy? And they're like, nah, we'll reach out to him and we'll tell him here's what we can do for you.
Right.
And I thought like, if you have God's people as a whole living with some open gates, right, across the board, I don't need to know every cheap apartment in the city, right? I need to know people who know the cheap apartments in the city, Jesus folk, and then I can just say, hey, look, hook a brother up. This guy could use some help. And here's the deal. Those folks at Joppa weren't at that coffee shop that morning. They weren't a cab, and they weren't at the Mickey D's, right? But they got to do what God has them doing, because I had my eyes open to what God has me doing. And here's the deal. God's got it under control. He's got people everywhere to handle this stuff. You're not taking on the world. But he is asking you to open your eyes and open your gates to the world that surrounds you, that he's got you living in. Because there are people in all stations of life, all manners of work, all manners of family situations or whatever, that need the hope and truth of Jesus Christ. And it happens when we start living with some open gates and we be faithful in our means and intentionally take people with us. And so that's my Pope-style advice. When you leave the lawn today, don't feel like you have, like God will drastically change some folks. And it shouldn't, here's the deal, kingdom folk, it's not a surprise when some guy moves to Zimbabwe. We ain't be like, oh, I can't believe you're doing that. We think, yeah, God does that. Sure. Mm-hmm. He sends you to Zimbabwe, definitely. Right? So we can't be surprised at that stuff. But like, that isn't everybody. And don't let yourself be hogtied by this thought that like, I need to shake the world for Jesus, when like, you're walking by 50 people who need Jesus Christ in your daily basis. And frankly, like, no one else gets into my building. No one in this room, no one in my church gets into the financial institution that I work at day in and day out because it's a carded building. I'm the guy that gets in there, which means the Lord's got work for me mm-hmm. that he doesn't have for anybody else. And that's an opportunity that comes across when I'm actually looking for it and I live my life with open gates. And so I guess what I'm warning against is this thought process that like, what do I have to do to impress the Lord? And the Lord says, I got plenty of stuff for you to do. Just open your eyes. And intentionally take people along with you as you follow me. Follow me as I follow Christ. And that discipleship will automatically happen. The kingdom will grow. And you didn't have to do anything crazy. You just get to sit back and say, all I did was go to coffee with a guy. Again and again and again, because I was going anyway. I got to eat every morning. Might as well grab a guy. I got to go to lunch. I got to do my work. I might as well live with open gates. And then I will be able to look back 6 months later and say, look what God did with that. Look what God did with that, as opposed to keeping my own personal diary of, I was awesome today, Lord Jesus. May I submit it to you for approval? So anyway, that's my Pope-style advice. Live with some open gates, take some people with you, and then sit back and watch what God does.
You know what I love about that is there are byproducts to that in your life and then in your surroundings. When you start living like that, when you start seriously existing as a kingdom worker versus just someone who has a relationship with God that is internal, when it explodes externally, the joy that you get from that is insane.
Like, you don't realize that joy until you've had it, until you feel that closeness with God when you're honestly and earnestly serving His children. It is such an incredible thing. And it's not a thankless thing. You are seriously, you get that from God. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
That you get to look at the creator of the universe and go, God, I met a couple of your kids today and I did everything I could to love them like you do. And it's such an amazing feeling. And the second thing that I've realized through seeing that happen and through kind of God showing me to do it a little bit, that baffles checkbox Christians. Like, that radical love and that radical servanthood just baffles people that just are willing to say on a survey, Christian other, right?
Yeah.
Like, you really see the people that are the checkbox, and then you really see the people that are, I'm going to die to who I am today to live as a son or daughter of the king of a kingdom that I want to be a part of. And by doing that, I'm going to work in that kingdom and love every single person I see. And it's such an incredible thing that it turns into discipleship for other people as well.
Yeah.
You know, when you're able to tell the story about, hey, I went to church today. Yeah, it's true, but like, there's not much weight to that, right? But when you say, hey, you know, I got a chance to meet a couple homeless people on the street, and, you know, they are now in the process of getting their life together. Mm-hmm. Like, they've started the process to getting a place, possibly getting a car, having jobs. And if she's pregnant, that means that there's a chance that her baby is going to have a warm place to sleep when it comes here. That is an amazing thing that a lot of us take for granted. And it's a beautiful, amazing just culmination of what we learn about who Jesus is and what we learn about how we are supposed to exist in this kingdom when we can honestly take it from just within our hearts and just within our minds and just within our church buildings, and it just explodes outward.
Yeah. Good news changes the world, man. That's the nature of good news.
And for some reason we can say that, but so many people don't think they can see it happen. You don't have to go to Zimbabwe to see God explode in someone's heart. Like, you do not have to go halfway across the world just to see your buddy Kevin down the aisle that now knows Jesus for the first time because you had coffee with him.
Yeah.
Like, that's an incredible feeling, and it's such an amazing place to find yourself.
No, and here's the deal. One of the things that it does is, like, as you open your gates, you start to look around, and I can get excited for whatever God's got doing in Zimbabwe. I can get excited for whatever he's doing in California, and to the, you know, 50 churches that surround me, regardless of the denomination, I can see people meeting Jesus and celebrate and be part of that. And that's awesome. Like, it's awesome to look around when you can pull yourself out of the picture and just look around and say, hey, look at that. Look what God's doing over there. I know that guy. Right? I know Jesus. And like, and you see, it's just like you hear about your good friend who's done something cool and you're like, yeah, I know that guy. Like, you take a little bit of the shine. You're like, hi, I'm glad to know him.
Right.
Right? Now put Jesus in that perspective, right? Now I look around and I see good news change the world. I see a good king change the world. And I say, yeah, I know that guy. I serve that guy. I'm with that guy.
Yeah,
that's
my
awesome.
Dad.
Right? And he did the following last week. And that's awesome. And so it's interesting to see. If you live with open gates, he might take you to Zimbabwe, but he might leave you where you're at and say, just keep your eyes open. And it reorients the thought of work to just being faithful in the means that he's got you in. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage you to do that. Get off my lawn.
All right. I like it.
Pope style. All right, we got time for just a few quick bits of advice on Dear Life from the Path. Here we go. A Dear Life from the Path. Uh-oh, there we go. I grew up the third of four children. Both my older brothers chose to go... Oh, no! It left.
What are you doing, man?
Hold on, it left.
It left?
Where did it go?
I don't know. Find it, man.
I had it up on the screen. There we go. Dear Life from the Path, I grew up the third of four children. Both my older brothers chose to go into engineering, the field my father is in. I rocked the boat and opted to go into education. All during college and after, my parents continued to tell me that I had chosen the wrong career and would never have any money. Encouraging. 10 years later, I'm still getting constant comments about my career choice and financial status. They make little jabs like, but we know you can't afford it, and is this too expensive for you? Which echo at family gatherings, to the point that neither my husband nor I want to be there. We both work hard, and while we might struggle, we never ask for financial assistance. How can I get my family to stop these comments? They're hurtful.
Mm. So, I'm gonna back off.
That's tough.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I wonder if they might be overreacting a tad. Because here, little jabs like, hey, we know you can't afford it, and is this too expensive for you? Now, I mean,
Those are legitimate claims.
That could be a legitimate question. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. If you're about to go spend $150 a plate at a really fancy place and you take your elementary school teacher, you go, we were going to go over there, but there's a chance you might not be able to afford that.
Now here's the thing. That's not cool because if you know, if you make
you pay for that $150 plate.
Exactly. You just buy it for them. So your family sucks.
I think there's a chance that both is at play. They may be overreacting a tad to the comments, but at the same point in time, who the heck is this family that they're going, hey, this is my daughter, correct?
Yeah.
A daughter that I love very much, but I'm going to berate her for not making enough money. Like, really? Why don't you just be happy for your daughter doing what she loves?
I mean, are we sure it's not like, hey, it's a family of engineers and then someone chooses to do something different? So, like, it's just a thing that comes up, right? Engineer, teacher. Oh, hey, you decided to do something different than us. Like, I don't know, families are kind of like that.
Not to the hurtful extent, it seems like.
Well, it's hurt. I don't know. She might be overreacting. It seems really unnecessary for a family to do that, but here's the thing. I wonder if she's talked to them about it. Like, do they, something they think is playful, right, they think is cute, is not, it's actually
harmful.
Yeah,
she's taken as hurtful.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, have you given them a chance to not be causing that, right? Like, if they don't recognize that it's hurtful and you haven't said anything, you know, it's hard to hold them to it.
Yeah, if it's a family of dude engineers, you need to bring them the facts of what they're saying could be construed as hurtful and eliminate as much emotion as possible because those guys are not going to understand what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
Just communication styles. That's all I'm saying.
I think the family should knock it off, but, like, how can I get my family to stop these comments? Like, she...
Talk to them.
She never said that I...
You know, I
said anything.
Here's the deal. We've been receiving these or reading these for years. How many of these could be fixed by just conversations?
Yeah.
Just flat out communication between couples and marriages and families and siblings and coworkers and neighbors. Just freaking talk to them.
Yeah.
Like, stop assuming that everyone understands your emotions to the extent of what you feel them just by looking at you and say, hey, here's how I feel. And this is how you're making me feel. Or this is how I think you're saying this, and it's coming off this way. And so many of these would be fixed.
Yeah, but like, she's married. You tell me she hasn't learned this from a marriage perspective? Like, you say, like, it's supposed to be, how many times you've been upset with somebody, and they have no idea what's going on, or that you've taken something a certain way, and they were completely, you know, dumb to it, and you didn't ever explain it. You just assumed that they knew it and were being unnecessarily harsh.
That, and as a husband, if someone is hurting my wife emotionally, they're no longer going to be hurting my wife emotionally. Like, there's no scenario where I don't go, hey, that's the woman that I chose to marry and spend the rest of my life with, and that's like my sister and Jesus, like, you're done now. That's over. You're no longer going to hurt her. I'm her husband, and it's done. Not, like, physically intimidating anybody, just saying, like.
So what if I'm the family, I say, no, it's not done. Now what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm. You blatantly say to me, no, it's not done, as I say, you're hurting my wife?
Yeah, that's what
First off, I say, you're an insane person.
It's just,
and a sociopath if you're just going to go, no, it's not done, hey, I'm going to continue hurting her. Hey, that's a creepy deal.
It's just, it's all in good fun there, Nancy. Don't you feel like you're overreacting a bit?
She may be overreacting, but
I'm talking to you as the guy. Go ahead and respond to me.
You called me Nancy.
Yeah.
Oh, so I'm a Nancy now because I'm defending my wife. Okay, got it. Got it. Just checking.
Put your fingernails away. I feel like we're just having jokes.
We are having jokes. It's hurting my wife. You're done. No. You don't get a retort here. It's done.
I just said, what do you mean I don't get a retort? You don't own my mouth. I just retorted.
I do in this situation. You're talking to my wife.
No, actually, I'm talking to you.
You are hurting my wife and constantly making fun of her. Even if you think it's a joke, even if you think it's fun, it's not fun to her.
Yeah, but I think you're overreacting.
Why does that matter if she's overreacting or not? You're hurting her. It needs to be done.
Well, why would you continue to overreact, though? Doesn't that seem silly?
Wouldn't it be easier for you just to stop talking than expecting her to change exactly who she is?
Let me ask this question.
I feel like we're actually in this right
now.
Ben and I get into these. They're fun.
This is really heated right now.
What if you say, like, what if I constantly what if I was overreacting to what you're saying right now and started lashing out in anger? Like, wouldn't you say, hey, you should stop overreacting?
I would start laughing and say, obviously it runs in the family.
Agreed.
So stop overreacting.
But I'm obviously not overreacting. I think the status quo is just fine.
The status quo of making fun of her?
You tried to stamp your foot and go, you're done now.
Yeah, I did.
But we weren't, so, like, now you look silly.
I don't look silly.
Yeah, you do.
You look silly.
You look silly.
You're in a banana suit.
You're in a banana suit.
Oh, no, name calling, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. See, now you're just confused. You don't even know what to do.
No, I'm not. I'm going to go make fun of my daughter some more.
You're going to go make fun of who?
Your wife, okay?
Hey, man, we're not coming over here anymore.
Because you're done now.
You're a big meanie head. And
I'm just
run away.
I'm just saying your ultra-testosterone answer, I feel like, doesn't really make any progress on anybody.
I think it would. I honestly think it would. I've had to have those kind of conversations before.
Yeah.
Where stuff has to... And I'm not saying... Like I said, I'm not saying physically intimidate someone.
Here's the deal.
There's a difference between getting angry and being assertive.
Yeah,
I'm being assertive and saying it's done. You're hurting my wife. You need to stop.
Here's the deal. But it's not done. Like, you obviously can't control me. I can do what I want. Right? So you just took, like, a very aggressive verbal stance of which you cannot enforce. You're going to look silly.
The way you're saying it, I think you're saying it can't be enforced. But from experience, it is.
But it's not.
What, like I'm saying, legitimately from experience, that's how it goes.
Well, if you're dealing with some sort of pansy, I guess.
Many people.
You beat me up with your words.
I see where you're coming from. I'm just saying from experience, that has worked, and it's done.
Like, I've had somebody attempt to say that to me, and I'm having the same reaction that I'm having right now.
This is why I would never have this conversation with you, first off.
Okay.
Hey, man, I'll throw you in a dumpster.
All right. I agree her family needs to knock it off, but I feel like she should talk to them. I mean, besides, like, as opposed to painting them as terrible people, like, give them the chance to not be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, all right. Secular says, you're being picked on not only because of your career choice and its salary level, but also the fact that you didn't fall into line as your siblings did and do what your parents wanted. Much as we might wish to, we cannot dictate the behavior of others. Yes, we can. It's done now.
It's done. And punch them in the arm.
If you have told your family their comments bother you and they persist, you will have to focus on the importance of the field you chose and the contribution to society that you are making, and attend those family gatherings less often. Okay. That seems pretty reasonable to me. Let's do one more.
Okay.
I don't know if I want to do that teen marriage collapse. Let's do this one.
That's going to be heavy.
All right. Dear Life from the Path, my daughter, Jamie, is in college and has two roommates, one of whom is also her friend. What does it say about the other person?
Right.
Her friend knows a lot of people in this college town and has much more of a social life than Jamie. Although Jamie always includes her friend in outings, her friend never returns the favor. I will be going to stay with them next weekend. Should I say something to her friend in private about how hurt my daughter's feelings are? Thoughts?
Walk up to her and say, it's done.
This is done.
No, your daughter needs to have a conversation if she's getting hurt. You can't just step in and handle that conversation for your daughter. You need to let her have that.
So you're saying don't interject at all?
Maybe talk to your daughter and try and give her some confidence to go and have that conversation. But I think it's gonna come off wrong if you try and go and have it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it certainly doesn't teach her. It doesn't help her learn to deal with her own issues.
Right.
She's gonna. Does that happen? Do parents come and stay in the dorm with you?
I don't know. I would feel weird doing that ever. If I had kids in college, I don't think I would ever go stay
with them
in
the
dorm.
You want to stay the night?
Yeah. Do you want to come bunk up with me, Pops? Like, no, that sounds terrible.
This is
I've slept in a college dorm before. It's awful. I would never invite someone to that scenario.
Yeah, I slept on the – I went up to do – we were, like, doing a show or something. And so I went up there, and I stayed at a frat house once, and they were like, hey, you can sleep in the tank. I'm like, what the heck? Sleep in the tank? It was like a room with books in it. I'm like, what the hell? I don't want to know. I don't know why you call it the tank. But I slept on the floor in there, and
place to a frat house.
This is probably
books.
Gross, isn't it? I thought to myself, this is gross. And I didn't ask any more questions.
The tank?
I thought I wouldn't want to know.
Hey, man, I want to build a house that has a room called the tank, and I don't know what I'm going to
put. Is that an option on the trailer?
The tank?
Hashtag the tank.
Hashtag the tank.
So now we have... Thundercuddles,
yeah. Which is up on my page. Hashtag Thundercuddles is going, and people need to share it.
So are you serious?
I seriously posted about it. Yeah. Hashtag Thundercuddles.
I already tweeted hashtag.
I already got a couple shares going right now.
Okay. Like I said,
I can smell victory.
Yeah. No. Yeah, that's creepy. But you need to let. You need to, maybe you can help your daughter by talking through how that conversation should go. There's nothing wrong with helping her. Behind the scenes, but I think it's weird to try and go talk to her friend. Because imagine being the friend. Like, how are you going to react to a mom coming up to you and going, hey, you know, my daughter's very uncomfortable because of this.
Yes. Yes, Mrs. Henderson. I will invite your daughter out more. Thank you for believing
me. Yeah, and how creepy is that?
Yeah.
That's a weird conversation to have, and that student's probably not going to take it very serious.
Does anybody disagree on that?
Okay. No, I think like if they're 5 years old, then there might be a need for a parent.
Right.
But being that they're grown adults going to college to further their career and to become a productive member of society, I think behind closed doors, maybe just some encouragement would just be best suited.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's the right move. All right, secular advice was no. As much as you might like to run interference for your daughter, remain silent. The person to explain Jamie's feelings to a roommate should be Jamie. Whether they can remain close friends under these circumstances is questionable. What? Is that big a deal? Like, are you required to invite your roommate out? Can't you run with a different group of friends?
Yeah, it's weird. I think that they're looking at this as a personal affront to Jamie because she's hurt.
All right. Fair enough. Whether they remain close friends under these circumstances is questionable, but for the next year they will have to coexist as roommates. Thanks for stating the obvious. Do not interfere. Okay.
All right.
We've solved the world's problem. Hey, you've been listening to Live from the Path. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. A big thank you to Silverside. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you again.
Thanks for having us.
Blast #ThunderCuddle. ThunderGirls.
Four so far, 996 to go.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Hey, we can do this.
In an hour.
Can be done.
War machine.
45 minutes.
I'm not for this name.
No, it's
I
a
just
week.
Need to make sure that everyone understands that.
If
ThunderCuddle wins, then...
Nate's the only one for it.
Yeah. If ThunderCuddle wins, then... Then so be it.
Okay.
I think these are excellent chances. If we can get at least the 8 people that listen to the show to get in on, I mean, that's progress.
That's true.
All right. All right. Thanks for listening to Live from the Path. Hey, please be faithful in the means. Let God handle the ends. You've been listening to Live from the Path.
Peace.